So, we're going to get into, I wonder how this happens when a tallit never stays even. So, we're going to get into the message now. And if you were here last night or listened to it last night, you heard part one of the message. If you haven't heard that, it's okay. You don't have to turn it off right now. You'll be able to go back and recapture it in a little bit because it's on archive. But I do encourage you to go back and listen to it, and you'll get kind of a feel of the foundation of this part of the message. Now, last night I gave a lot of history in regards to Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the message, and I'm not going to do that for the sake of time. So that's another good reason to go back and listen to last night's message. I will say that Rosh Hashanah is one of those major holidays on the Jewish calendar. You know, even for people who are not very religious, we'll say, they normally go to a synagogue on this day or last night, as well as on Yom Kippur. Those are the two big Jewish holidays. It's sort of like Christmas and Easter in Christianity. You know, if you never go, those are the days you go. Well, for Jewish people, if you never go, these are the days that you go. Now, Rosh Hashanah occurs at the start of the month of Tishrei, when God said to have created the world. So for this reason, Rosh Hashanah is not just a new year. It's really considered the birth of everything, the birth of the world. Now, the main focus last night's message was hope. It was a message of hope. I hope it gave you some message. I spoke about what hope is. I spoke about what we should have it, why we should have it, why we need it. Hope's not just a strong desire regarding something. Because no matter how strong that desire is, that's just a hope. That's just the world's hope. It's like, you know, the world's happy if their hope is 80% it comes true. And, you know, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But when we have hope in Adonai, when we have hope in Messiah Yeshua, we have a 100% hope. That's biblical hope. That's who we should be as believers, having the foreknowledge that He always answers when we pray. He always, always comes through in our times of trouble. It's that knowledge that even if we don't see the hope completed, because with physical eyes, we have a definitive time horizon. We don't see over the horizon. Adonai has an infinite sight. He sees over the horizon, all the way around, and He knows how it's going to end. And I can tell you, with all honesty, it always ends with His glory and for our good. The act of waiting on that hope is really the act of loving Him. And the act of loving Him is waiting on the hope. They go hand in hand. He delivers, He sustains, even in the drought, even in the famine, He delivers and He sustains. And maybe we don't see it with our physical eyes. Maybe we don't even see it in this lifetime. But our hope is not just in this lifetime. Our hope is an eternal hope. So even if you don't see an answer right here, right now, right in this life, know that our eternal God has the eternal answer that's for our good. We also said that Yeshua is our hope of what's to come. In the Amidah, we say, "Blessed are you who in love will bring a Redeemer to their children's children for your name's sake." This is what we hope for. This is what our hope is in. Yeshua as the Redeemer. Yeshua as the Eternal One. So today I wanted to continue that message, a message of hope. And I want to get started off today with some examples. Examples of hope. Examples of what we see in Scripture that we can follow to have the hope that they had as well. So the first example would be in the book of Daniel. We have an example there of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children who were captured by Babylon, brought out to Babylon, and actually were raised up to be leaders within Babylon among the Jewish people. They were picked so that they could lead the Jewish people in Babylon. But the Babylonian rulers didn't like them very much because they believed in the one true God. Even in exile, they knew there was only one true God to bow down to, only one true God to worship. And of course, those Babylonian leaders, they wanted to do harm to them. So they made that law. They made the law that says when the music plays, everyone's got to worship the statue. But these three knew that was not right. It angered the king. And the king says, you have to follow my edict. And my edict is, if you don't, you get thrown into the furnace. In fact, he was so angry at them, he heated it up to 7 times the norm, that even those who were throwing the children in died because of the heat. Listen what it says here in Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer you concerning this matter. If it is so, our king, whom we serve, is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Yet even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image that you set up. So we know the three are thrown into the fire, but they go in there with hope. They go in there with knowledge of who Adonai is. They may not be sure of the physical outcome, but they know the spiritual outcome, even if they were to be burnt up. Right then and right there. That's their hope, that they have the knowledge of what Adonai, who Adonai is, the Eternal One, and that they would have eternal victory. And in fact, they do come out with that victory. Adonai walks through the flames with them. And it said that is actually Yeshua walking through the flames with them, keeping them safe from the fires. That's what hope can do for us. Even if they said before going in, I perish, my hope is in him, and that's okay. And it was that hope that brought them out of the fire. And not only that, the king said, whoa, you do have a mighty God. It spread the word of who Adonai is. Now, of course, Abraham is another example of hope in Scripture. But just like almost all men, he seemed to have lost hope at one time. He knew that Adonai said, you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be the hope for all of Israel. It was going to be that your child is going to be have children as many as the sands in the on the beach. But what did he do? His hope kind of waned. His hope kind of faded a bit. And he allowed Sarah to talk him into taking a second wife, Hagar the slave. Take her as a wife and have a child, and we know that Ishmael came out of that union. Yet still, in Hebrews, Abraham is named as someone with great faith and great hope in Adonai. Because faith really is just another word for hope. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:11. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive when she was barren and past the age, since she considered the one who had made the promise to be faithful. Now let me just stop there for a moment. Doesn't that make you laugh? Because you know Sarah laughed when she heard that the first time. But she still considered someone of faith, and so is Abraham, someone of great hope and faith. So verse 12, so from one, and him as good as dead, were fathered offspring as numerous as the stars in heaven, and as uncountable as the sand on the seashore. Sarah and Abraham tried to do it on their own. They tried to have, you know, they knew the prophecies, but they tried to force them. It shows a lack of hope. It shows a lack of faith. And yet, they were able to recapture their hope. And it works out in God's favor. This is why we can say, even when we appear to have lost hope, that we can recapture it. That's not the end of the line. We can go back in, recapture that hope, recapture that faith, understand who Adonai is, and live by that hope. We understand it because we see it through Abraham. We understand it because we also hear about it through Shaul when he tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far above all that we ask or imagine, by means of his power that works in us, to him be the glory in the community of believers and in Messiah Yeshua throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we're shown by scriptures that we should not give up hope. And even when we do, that's not the time to give up hope. Because even if you have that smallest of glimmer of hope, it can be fanned back into a flame. Abraham and Sarah tried to force the plan of Adonai by doing it their own way. And it didn't work out, of course. At least not in our human eyes. But we also see that hope was restored. And Adonai did mighty things through them. Waning hope does not mean throw in the towel. Not in this life. Not ever when you have the knowledge of who Adonai is. In fact, that's the time to dig deep. Go down deep to the bedrock of your hope and rebuild that hope in Him. Even when it seems the world is coming against you, rebuild the hope. Remain strong. When Hannah, remember Hannah was childless and cried every night to have a child. But she couldn't. For years she cried out. And she prayed. And maybe, yes, she became depressed. And maybe she lost some hope. But because of that glimmer of hope, she knew to keep going to Adonai. She knew to go back. 1 Samuel 1:13 says this. Now Hannah was praying in her heart. She had gone to the synagogue. Now Hannah was praying in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice could not be heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. When Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Get rid of your wine." But in response, Hannah said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman with an oppressed spirit. I haven't been drinking wine or beer. Instead, I've been pouring out my soul before Adonai. Don't consider your handmaiden a wicked woman, for out of my great anguish and grief, I've been praying until now." It was that hope that enabled her to keep praying. And it was that hope that even when Eli, who was the grand priest at the time, came against her. She had the hope that even if the whole world came against her, she was going to continue to press in. And because of that glimmer of hope, Of course, she had a son, and that son became the prophet Samuel. Losing hope, that fading of the spirit, is not something that was rarely seen in Scripture. It's not something that, you know, hardly ever happened. It's not something that very rarely happens to us. As regular people, even as leaders of congregations, there are times that our hope wanes and there are times that our hopes build up, and we just need to keep building them up. Scripture shows us over and over again examples to build us up. When an angel of Adonai came to Gideon, he had lost hope. He seemed to have lost hope completely. What was he doing when the angel came? He was working the wheat. He was crushing the wheat. But where was he doing it? He was doing it in a wine press. A wine press is a kind of like a deep hole, walls of cement, of stone or cement, and no one would be able from the outside to be able to see in. And he was doing it to hide the wheat. He was doing it to hide himself. Of course, he knew if he did it out in the open, the Midianites would come and steal it all away from him. He had no hope of protection. He had no hope of what Adonai could do for them. In fact, all of Israel was in that same state. All of Israel had lost hope. That's when Adonai shows up for him. That's when Adonai shows up for Israel. Judges 6:12 says this. Then the angel of Adonai appeared to him and said to him, Adonai is with you, O mighty man of valor. But Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if Adonai is with us, why then have all this befallen us? So where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about, saying, didn't Adonai bring us up from Egypt? But now Adonai has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. He took the history of Israel that was supposed to give them hope and turned it around on the Lord and said, look, you did it back then. You're not doing it now. I have no hope. All of Israel basically said the same thing. We have no strength, we have no hope, we have no nothing. And he tried to prove it to Adonai by saying, look what's going on. He saw nothing but defeat. He saw no hope. But an encounter with Adonai changed everything. And his hope was restored and rebuilt because of what Adonai said to him. And Adonai speaks to us today as well to help us, to build us up. He speaks through his word in Scripture. He speaks through our spirit, through the Ruach HaKodesh. He speaks to us through messages. He speaks to us through friends. Look what happened in Judges 6:33. Now all the Midianites, the Amalekites, the people of the east gathered together, crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Ruach Adonai clothed Gideon, and he blew the shofar, and Ebenezer rallied behind him. Then he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also rallied behind him. Then he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came to join them. Adonai was able to raise up Gideon and a whole army. And we know they went on to victory. Even at that very low point of their faith and their hope, Adonai restores and rebuilds. He will restore hope and faith and victory. Yes, even in our lives. Even in the times that we're beyond hope, Adonai is there and will do. We saw in Hannah, we saw it in Gideon, we saw it in Abraham, over and over and over again. We can see it in sometimes in the people in our lives. over and over and over again. Shaul encourages us using the time that Abraham was beyond hope in his writings to the Romans. In Romans 4:18, it says this, "In hope beyond hope, he trusted that he would become the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body as good as dead since he was already 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb." You know, some people, they'll read, "In hope beyond hope," thinking he had great hope and even more hope. But the truth is, he had no hope and he was beyond hope. That's what it's saying there. It's not that he was great in hope. It's that he was broken and hopeless. And yet Adonai moved through him, gave him a word, and that built back up his hope. But even during that time, Adonai didn't allow, or Abraham didn't allow, faith to be snuffed out completely. That's where we need to be too. Can't allow hope to be snuffed out completely. Even if it's as small as a mustard seed, have that hope. So how do we maintain that little mustard seed of hope? How do we maintain that glimmer of hope? How do we keep faith alive? We look again, as always, to Scripture for our instructions, because that is the reason that we have Scripture. They're the things that are supposed to remind us, to rebuild us, to help us. Scripture tells us of Peter. When speaking about the writing of the prophets, this is what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:12. "It was revealed to them," the prophets, "that they were providing these messages not to themselves but to you. These messages have now been announced to you through those who proclaim the good news to you by the Ruach HaKodesh sent from heaven. Even angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. So brace your minds for action. Keep your balance. Set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah." The words of Adonai were written by the prophets who searched for salvation way back then, so that we would have them today, so that we could draw our hope from them today, so that we would know who Adonai is and the Messiah that he sent, who he is. And that's who we're to place our hope in: Adonai and Yeshua and nothing else. Nothing we do can change what Adonai wants. Nothing we do can change what Adonai is going to do. So what do? We keep our balance. We keep our footing on the rock. We balance ourselves so that even when the world comes to push us, they won't knock us over. That's what we're meant to do. That's why it says in Psalm 71, verse 13, "Let the accusers of my soul be disgraced and destroyed. Let those who seek to harm me be covered with scorn and confusion. But I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. My mouth will recount your justice and your salvation all day, though I do not know the sum of them. I come because of the mighty deeds of Adonai, my Lord. I will remember your righteousness, yours alone. God, you taught me from my youth, and I still keep declaring your wonders." The world will try to confuse us. The world will try to scorn us, constantly come against us. They'll make us appear. They'll want us to look in our own eyes as if we've been the one destroyed, as if we're the one who's scorned. They'll keep throwing words at us, situations at us. We need to keep remembering the word of Adonai, and stand on that, balanced and strong. I'm looking to see where I am going on this. Oh, I missed the whole paragraph. That's why it didn't make sense. Remember Jonah, swallowed by the fish? In the dark, as good as dead, given up hope, ran from Adonai. Where was his hope? He was dead. He was, you know, his flesh should have been rotting in the fish already to give nourishment to the fish. But Adonai sustained them even in that time. What did he do? He had that very small glimmer of hope. And he turned towards Adonai with that very small glimmer of hope. Now, Jonah's traditionally told during Yom Kippur. It's a story of atonement and story of salvation. It's also that story of hope. It's also that story of faith. Because even when losing hope and faith, while we fall, Adonai is still there. He was with Jonah in the belly of the fish. He could still hear him. He could still see him. Jonah was saved because he had just that little glimmer. That's all he needed to draw on for Adonai to save him. Look what it said in Romans 8:24. For in hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait with perseverance. In the same way, the Ruach helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Ruach himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. We're told that the hope that we need to depend upon is not the hope that we can see. Jonah couldn't see hope. He was in the dark. But he still called out. He still prayed. He still knew, even at that point, whoa, I turned from Adonai before. Now it's time for me to turn back. I lost hope before. Now it's time for me to build it back up by praying to him, by remembering the words. It was so dark, he couldn't even open a scripture book to read it. But because it was hidden in his heart, he was able to draw upon it. We need to draw on those same scriptures and more. We need to recall hope even when we feel hopeless. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our trouble, light and momentary, is producing for us eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. As we look not at what we can see, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Even though we look with the eyes of flesh, even though we look with the eyes of flesh, we have to see with our spirit eyes. We have to see what's going on in the eternal, not just here in the temporal, not that what's temporary. And sometimes we don't get to see that, but we have to step out in faith, in hope, that he knows what he's doing. We can't lose heart, we can't lose hope because of the fires that's going on around us. Don't look at what the world is doing. Don't look, because you know what? If the fires are raging, and you're in hope, you're in faith, you're in knowledge of who Adonai is, if you start looking at the fires that are raging around you, which could easily have been sent by Adonai to do a work around you, what are you going to see? Oh, look, there's fire. Oh, look, there's someone who's been burned. Oh, look, there's water. There's someone who's been drowned. I'm just like them. Wait a second. No, take your eyes off of the situation around you and look up at Him. Amen. The things that you're afraid of, that you see around you, may have very easily been the things that Adonai sent to cleanse what's around you. If you're with Him, if you're walking with Him, if you have His hope, if you have His faith, you will walk through the fires just like the children did in Daniel. Adonai's promises are eternal. But not if we look with our eyes of flesh. Only if we look with our heart's eyes, with our spirit eyes. Our hope is based on confidence in Adonai. Confidence that He answers prayers. David said in Psalm 38, "But I wait for You, Adonai. You will answer, O Lord my God." He's going to wait. So should we. He's not commanding Adonai to answer, but instead declaring His faith, declaring His hope in who Adonai is, and knowing that He answers prayer. It was hope that empowered him to pray. It was only because he had hope was he able to pray to the one true God. A prayer that's weakly prayed should be weakly considered to be answered. You are not, if you're giving a mealy, little, weeny, whiny prayer, you're not going to get answered. Pray out in faith and strength, knowing who's behind the prayer. You're not the one behind the prayer. He's the one behind your prayers, if you're aligned with Him. We're assured of this many, many times. So pray out in confidence. Look what it says in Isaiah 43. "But now thus says Adonai, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Or through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flame burn you." Don't look like the world looks at the situations around you and think, "That flame is meant for me. That water and that fire is meant for me." You were meant for Adonai. That's who you were meant for. Don't worry. You know what? Even if that flame catches up to you, that was the plan of Adonai so that you would be in His presence. Don't worry about things that are going on. Now, I'm not saying don't take precautions. But don't be scared. Take the proper precautions. Everyone's dying of the virus. Everyone's doing this. You know what? Take your precautions and know that Adonai provides. But take your precautions. We need to be living like those examples that we've seen in Scripture, having the hope, having that faith. Two more examples of hope and faith and what they can do for you. The first is the woman with the issue of blood. She bled for 12 years. Couldn't find a doctor to help her. When she heard Yeshua was there, her hope bubbled up. Her faith started to be built up. And her faith and her hope caused her to take action. Mark 5:27 says, when she heard about Yeshua, she came through the crowd from behind and touched his garment, for she kept saying, if I touch even his clothes, I shall be healed. In her hope, she knew that she just needed to make contact with Yeshua to be healed. She pushed through the crowds. You know, it wasn't easy. A lot of people wanted to get close to Yeshua. But she pushed through the crowds and she kept saying to herself, if only I can touch. If only I can touch. And that kept her going. That was her hope. That hope was the living out of 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. She pushed through the crowd in faith. And that's why she was healed. Now the second example is the blind men in Matthew 20. The two blind men, when they heard Yeshua passing by, they cried out, Son of David, help, save us, heal us. Look what happened. Matthew 20, verse 31. The crowd warned them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Master Ben David. Yeshua stopped and called out to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Master, let our eyes be opened. Move with compassion. Yeshua touched their eyes. Instantly, they regained their sight and followed him. When they cried out to Yeshua in hope, the crowd tried to drown them out. The crowd kept saying, shut up. The crowd kept saying, be quiet. These were other people who were following Yeshua, trying to drown them out, trying to snuff out their faith, snuff out their hope. What did they do? They cried out even more. Sometimes, our own hope, it's our own hope that keeps us going. Sometimes it's the hope from other people who are pouring into us. Yes, we do need friends to pour into us. That's why we come together as a congregation. It's why we come together as a family, to be poured into by others when we're down, or to pour into others when they're down. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written before was written for our instruction, so that through patience and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Sometimes it's our reading of the Scriptures ourselves. Sometimes it's someone quoting Scripture to us. But either way, Scripture is our encouragement to maintain our hope, maintain our faith. Maintain the knowledge that Yeshua is eternal. And that our hope and our dependence upon Him is not just for what we can see at the horizon, but what we can see over the horizon. That timeline that we can't see. The timeline sometimes we can't even imagine. That's who Adonai is. So we all need to live for hope, live for Adonai, to live in a world that wants to fight us every time we take a step proclaiming His name, but we can't let that crush us. We still have to walk out in hope. A couple of quotes about hope. We come down to the conclusion of the message. Robert Schuller, a TV evangelist, said this about hope. Let your hope not your hurts shape your future. I'm not a big fan. I don't know that much about him, but this is a great quote. Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future. We need to be sure to look at the right place to draw our hope from. If hope is assurance of what's to come, if we allow our hurts to form our hope, what a dismal hope that is. Hurts do not form true hope. Hurts don't form true faith. We have to be careful where we're drawing our hope. If you're down and you go to a friend and they're just speaking more down into you, they're not building up hope. Cut them off for now. That's not where you should be drawing your hope from. He is the one, even in our darkest times, even to death, His light shines and gives us hope. That's why it says in Hebrews 11 about what Abraham thought about Isaac, who he thought was to be sacrificed at the moment. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And in a sense, he did receive him back from there. Abraham's hope was that Adonai can do all things, even bringing back from the dead. And he was right, of course. He can bring back from the dead. He did bring back from the dead. This is also the reason that we have hope, because he can bring hopelessness to hope. He can bring death to life. He did it then. He does it now. Rosh Hashanah is the start of a new year. It can be a very different year than the last year was. Our hope will shape how we live in this coming year. Albert Einstein said, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow." Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. Live for today because of what you've learned from yesterday. Yesterday we learned about Adonai's greatness. We learned about the miracles he did. We learned he raised from the dead. We learned that he saves. We learned that he heals. That's what we've learned. Make sure that's what you keep in your foreknowledge is what you've learned from yesterday. Live for hope for tomorrow. Tomorrow is a hope because we know where our hope comes from. We know what he's going to be bringing. Hey, I may not know what's going to happen next week, but I know what's going to happen for eternity. That's our hope. Our hope is not what happens soon. Our hope as believers is what happens for the eternity. And if we're hoping for the eternity, then we can put up with everything that happens in between now and then. Yeshua died on the execution stake to give us that hope. Yeshua died and rose again as our example of our hope. Scripture is written so that we'll know what happens after that. Scripture tells us that at the end of this world, at the end of time, all men will be caught up. All men will stand before Yeshua as the judge. For some, that's a great hope because they know they've accepted Messiah Yeshua as their salvation, and therefore, the hope that they know is true, can't be broken, and therefore they will stand before Adonai for all eternity and be comforted and totally healed at that point. For those who don't know Yeshua as their Messiah, what is their hope? Is it that 80%, maybe I'm a good person and I'll be saved? Well, that's a false hope. I'm going to tell you now, unfortunately, you're hoping against hope. Because the truth is, if you don't know Messiah Yeshua, there is no other way. He is the only way. He's our only hope. He's our only eternity. So I encourage you, if you don't know Him, reach out to me. Reach out to someone who does know Him. Ask some questions, and I bet you will accept Yeshua as Messiah. Amen. Father, we thank You that You're our hope. You're our hope in that You told us by Scripture what we can expect. You're our hope in that You sent Your Son, Yeshua, to die, to show us our hope that we will rise again. You're our hope in that You shed blood to cleanse us from our sin. You're our hope because You never, ever fail. So we thank You on this Rosh Hashanah that we can look to You for hope. Even as our Jewish brethren are hoping, as the world hopes, from now until Yom Kippur, that they be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We hope as believers, knowing that it's true, we are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May we help to spread that hope to a lost and dying world. We just thank You for all that You've done. Amen and amen.